This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Ivy Sager-Rosenthal, Communications Director for Toxic Free Future. Ivy is here to tell us about progress towards a toxic-free future during 2017 and to discuss upcoming plans for 2018. Welcome, Ivy.
Thank you for having me.
Would you like to begin by saying a few words about Toxic Free Future?
Sure. Toxic Free Future is a statewide organization that works to eliminate sources of toxic chemicals to protect our health and the environment.
Would you give a thumbnail overview of progress during 2017 towards a toxic free future?
Well, 2017 started out looking pretty dismal. I think with the Trump administration in D.C., the nomination of Scott Pruitt as the EPA administrator, I think everyone was feeling kind of dismal, and it still very much is a hold-the-line defensive posture for a lot of toxics issues in D.C., and we continue to work as much as we can to defend those laws and institutions that we hold critical. But here in Washington State, I think we're lucky in that we were able to see quite a bit of progress on public health and toxics issues. I think in the next 3 years, certainly the opportunities for progress are at the state level as opposed to in D.C. right now. And particularly, we were able to expand the groundbreaking chemical reporting law for children's products. We had a new law that banned flame retardants go into effect in July. And we've seen some pretty amazing work working on toxic perfluorinated chemicals. The state has decided to move forward with drinking water standards for these really cancer-causing, extremely persistent chemicals. And so the opportunities for progress in the state in 2017 were great, and we did make progress. And I think we're looking forward to 2018 and continued success.
Would you remind us of the Children's Safe Products Act and its history?
Sure. The Children's Safe Products Act is a law that was passed in 2008 in response to the reports of high levels of lead and other chemicals in children's toys that surfaced right around the holidays in 2007. I think the poster child toy was a Thomas the Tank engine that had extremely high levels of lead and recalled by this Consumer Product Safety Commission. And they started testing other toys. And sure enough, when all was said and done, about 1 million toys were recalled for high levels of toxic chemicals in them. And so the Washington State Legislature took a look at this, rightly concerned, and passed what at the time were the highest standards for lead, cadmium, and chemicals called phthalates in toys. And along with these standards, the law also included a provision that set up a first-of-its-kind chemical reporting system for chemicals in toys. And this requires toy manufacturers and manufacturers of other children's products to report every year whether they use certain chemicals in their products. It's been a really important law in that not only does it shine the light for consumers on products that contain harmful chemicals for kids, but it also allows policymakers to see where certain chemicals are being used, what product sectors, and to have more information to decide whether or not action needs to be taken. And kind of another effect of this law has encouraged companies to stop using some of the chemicals that are required to be reported because they do not want to be listed as having products that contain chemicals that are harmful for kids' health. So it's been a really good law and has been modeled in other states as well.
What are the highlights of the most recent Department of Ecology report from 2017?
So in 2017, the reports show that there's still too many toxic chemicals in toys and other children's products. In 2017 alone, over 9,300 reports were filed by manufacturers. The chemicals that have been reported include toxic flame retardants, which can affect learning, cause cancer, hormone-disrupting phthalate chemicals, especially in children's clothing and personal care products. One company even reported using a paint stripper chemical called methylene chloride in an infant toy, which just is ridiculous. A chemical like that should never be in children's products, especially an infant toy. The other thing that I think these reports show is that, as dismal as it seems, 9,300 reports, we do see companies reducing the number of reports that they're putting forward. And it also provides consumers with information about which companies are doing well and which companies are not. And it gives consumers power to contact those companies or demand that those companies start cleaning up their act and provide safer products for kids.
This fall, the Department of Ecology added 20 additional chemicals in children's products that must be reported. What are some examples of the new chemicals added?
So the Department of Ecology added 20 new chemicals that include toxic flame retardants, additional toxic flame retardants, including a group of flame retardants called organohalogens. These are chemicals that the Consumer Product Safety Commission actually has voted this year to move forward to ban them in consumer products. So they're not good chemicals. Also included are additional phthalate chemicals, two chemical replacements for the plastic chemical bisphenol A or BPA, BPA-S and BPA-F. These are chemicals that can be used in hard plastic. So we will now have more information on where these replacements are being used. They've also added a toxic nonstick chemical, PFOA, and so we'll be able to get more information on where that chemical is used as well.
What are the implications of adding these new chemicals?
So I think what we'll see is we'll be able to get more information on these chemicals that we know are harmful to kids. I should say that the chemicals on these lists are no-brainer chemicals. We're talking here in Washington State of 85 chemicals out of 80,000 that are on the market. So these are kind of the worst for kids' health, where policymakers and parents should be concerned that these chemicals are being used. So we'll get more information. We'll know better what products to target for reducing or eliminating these chemicals from them. And we'll also, as I mentioned before, have consumers who are able to ask companies to get these chemicals out of their products.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Ivy Sager-Rosenthal, Communications Director for Toxic Free Future. Our topic is progress toward a toxic-free future during 2017 and upcoming plans for 2018. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP, 90.3 FM by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. Let's focus now on progress toward a toxic-free future for retailers. Would you tell us about the Mind Their Store report?
So the Mind the Store campaign recognizes that retailers have enormous power to demand safer products from manufacturers through their buying power. Big retailers like Walmart, Target, Best Buy can actually affect change in the marketplace by demanding that manufacturers not use certain chemicals in the products that they sell. So the Mind the Store campaign has looked at encouraging retailers to adopt chemical policies that screen for certain chemicals we know are bad, like phthalates or flame retardants, and to require that products not contain some of these chemicals. And it's had some really good success. I think we've seen Walmart and Target and CVS adopt chemical policies that help give consumers kind of confidence that when they go into a store that perhaps those products will be safer. And so every year, the Mind the Store campaign looks at different big retailers to see how well they're doing on getting toxic chemicals out of products. And this year's report found that there are companies out there who are taking the lead, who are helping to affect change in the marketplace, but also that there are companies who really need to step up and have not done their job and are not doing right by consumers. This year, getting A's on their report card were Apple and Walmart. Both companies have safer chemical policies and are transparent about what chemicals they're targeting, really open about it, and are models for how a company could attack these issues. Getting B's on the report card are Target, CVS, really done good jobs On the other end of the spectrum are the laggards, or those who got Fs. And I should say that these are companies that, while their products may not necessarily contain harmful chemicals, they are not forthcoming with that information, and so consumers really have no idea. Trader Joe's is on that list. Dollar General, Office Depot, and Toys R Us all got Fs because they just don't provide enough information about the chemicals that they're using or their corporate policies on these issues. Close to home, we had Amazon, who ended up getting a D on the report card. This is a step up from last year where they had an F. Amazon is starting to take some action on this front, and we're excited to keep working with them in hopes that they will raise their grade even more next year. And then the Kirkland-based Costco, which is a favorite of Pacific Northwesterners to go shopping at, did manage to raise their grade this year to a C. They were an F last year. And so Costco really is starting to make progress. And just like Amazon, we're excited to keep working with them and hope that they can raise their grade even more next year.
Toxic flame retardants have been a focus of Toxic Free Futures efforts. Remind us of why toxic flame retardants are of concern.
So toxic flame retardants are a class of flame retardants that are used a lot in polyurethane foam in products. They are linked to cancer, infertility problems, and learning problems. They are really, in many cases, unnecessary. Studies have shown that they're actually ineffective in slowing down fires, and that other alternatives, whether safer chemicals or just a different way that you construct your product, perhaps is even a better way to slow down flames or make them flame resistant. And so they're really just an unnecessary chemical. We find them, for instance, one toxic flame retardant, PBDEs, which has been banned for nearly a decade, is still showing up not only in the environment, but in the bodies of newborns. So these chemicals don't go away. They stay out there. They're harmful. And we have really been focused on trying to eliminate these sources where we don't need them in the products.
Where do state and federal law currently stand with respect to toxic flame retardants? What legal protections are in place?
So several flame retardants have been banned, particularly in children's toys and in home furniture. Here in Washington State, July 1st, a ban went into effect for a certain number of flame retardants in home furniture and children's products. So manufacturers and retailers are not allowed to sell these items in Washington State. Similar laws are in place in a few other states, and that helps to change the marketplace, but also to kind of put pressure on chemical companies to just stop producing these chemicals because there hopefully isn't a market for them. The Consumer Product Safety Commission this year voted to ban certain class called organohalogens, which I mentioned before, in products for kids and pregnant women. And they've also issued a warning to consumers to try and avoid these products. So this is a class of chemicals, I think, that for sure here in Washington State, but also nationally, has been put on the do not use list. And we're hopeful that more states will continue to pass laws and we'll get some real action at the federal level.
Toxic Free Future recently issued a report on flame retardants in televisions. How did you go about testing for the flame retardants in TVs and what were the results?
Yes, our new report, which was released in September, TV Reality, found pretty high levels of toxic flame retardants in the outer casings of TVs. Usually it's the black or the silver plastic that encases the TV. And we went and bought several TVs from manufacturers here in Washington State and from retailers and disassembled them. We have a wonderful volunteer who comes in and is knowledgeable in this kind of stuff. And so he helped disassemble the TVs and sent them off to a lab. And what we found is that there can be an enormous amount of these flame retardants that make up the plastic in the TVs. And we know from other studies that the flame retardants can escape the plastic, get out into the air, contaminate house dust. And as kids crawl around on the floor and their hand-to-mouth activity, they're getting their hands in this dust and putting their hands in their mouth. We're all breathing it in our homes. And so the fact that there are these high levels of flame retardants is something that we're very concerned about. We also know there's an impact on the environment. We've done a studies, Homes to Waters, which found that flame retardant contaminated dust gets on our clothes. And when we wash our clothes in the laundry, these flame retardants are actually flushed down the drain and out through wastewater treatment plants into the environment. So we also know that the fact that we're using a TV in our home can affect Puget Sound, the Columbia River, and other waterways.
Would you tell us about the Children's Safe Electronics Act, which you introduced in the 2017 Washington State Legislative Session and plan to reintroduce in 2018?
The Children's Safe Electronics Act is sponsored by Representative Beth Dolio of Olympia, and it seeks to expand the Children's Safe Products Act, the chemical reporting law, to include electronics like TVs, like video games, computers. It's our belief that if manufacturers are using harmful chemicals in products like flame retardants and TVs, that consumers and policymakers need to know what the chemicals are that they're using and how much and in what products. And so it's a consumer right to know bill. And we think it's reasonable that if you're using these dangerous products, you should probably be telling us about it.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Ivy Sager Rosenthal, Communications Director for Toxic Free Future. Our topic is progress toward a toxic free future during 2017 and upcoming plans for 2018. Let's move on to PFAS, toxic nonstick chemicals. What are these chemicals and where are they found?
So these toxic nonstick chemicals or perfluorinated chemicals, often referred to by their acronym PFAS, PFAS, that's what I'll refer to them as, are a large class of chemicals that are found in everything from nonstick cookware to water repellent clothing to stain-proofed carpets and furniture, to certain specialty firefighting foams. They're also, these industrial chemicals are also found in food packaging, like microwave popcorn bags. They have special qualities that repel grease and repel water, and they're perfect for those kinds of applications. However, this special chemistry that they have also makes them extremely persistent. So persistent that scientists often call them virtually indestructible, meaning they just don't break down. And they can stay in our bodies up to 8 years. Many of them are very toxic, have been linked to cancer, reproductive problems, hormone problems. So they're not a good class of chemicals. And I think what we're seeing as scientists dig deeper into this class and look at what's happening to not only our health, but the environment, we're finding that these are emerging as a very critical public health threat. I think here in Washington, we've had contamination by these chemicals in drinking water. Several communities, Issaquah, up in Whidbey Island around Coopville, and Langley, out in the community of Airway Heights, which is near Spokane, their drinking water wells have been contaminated with really high levels of these chemicals. The source there is from firefighting foam used at military bases or at fire training grounds. And we're just now kind of getting a handle on the extent of the contamination and what can be done.
What work has been done so far in Washington State to address the threat of these chemicals?
So Washington State has started developing a chemical action plan for these chemicals. And these chemical action plans look at ways to reduce and eliminate sources of these chemicals. Right now, they are working on interim recommendations, looking at what can we do to clean up existing contamination out there, especially with drinking water. They're looking at ways to reduce other sources to people, would include looking at alternatives to food packaging that contains these toxic nonstick chemicals. The Department of Health and the State Board of Health has also voted to go forward with drinking water standards for these chemicals, because right now there's no requirement that water systems test for these chemicals. There's no levels that are considered harmful. There are some voluntary recommendations from the EPA, but we just don't really have a handle on the extent that these chemicals have infiltrated our drinking water. And so going forward and establishing some drinking water standards here in Washington State will go a long way toward making sure that people's water is tested and that they're protected from these chemicals.
Would you comment also on the Healthy Food Packaging Act?
Sure. The Healthy Food Packaging Act is sponsored by Representative McBride and was introduced last year, did not pass, but will again be active this year. And it will ban toxic nonstick chemicals in food packaging, like where it's used in microwave popcorn or in fast food wrappers or other convenience items, pizza trays, because we know that these chemicals don't stay in the food packaging, but instead escape from the food packaging into the food that it's packaged in. For example, our staff scientists often refers to microwave popcorn bags or muffins as little PFAS toxic nonstick factories. Because what happens is, as these packages are heated up, actually the rate that these nonstick chemicals move into the food increases. So we've seen very high levels of these chemicals in microwave popcorn, in muffins, and other food where it might be heated. But it's not just heat. There is a study that found high levels of nonstick chemicals in butter that was stored in a wrapper that contained PFAS, but in cold storage. So we know that this is a problem not just for heated foods and fast foods, but for other foods that you don't heat. The other thing this bill will do is not only protect our health and protect our food from these chemicals, but it also helps protect the environment. There is a real concern that as these food packages are made to be compostable, as we compost these items that contain these chemicals, I mentioned before, they don't break down. So once you're spreading compost out into the environment, you're spreading these chemicals as well, and that they get into the waterways and onto our land. And so the Healthy Food Packaging Act is really a bill that will protect not only our food and our health, but our environment as well.
Would you just summarize your legislative agenda for the 2018 Washington State legislative session?
Sure. So it's a short session, only 3 months. So we'll be working pretty fast and hard. We're going to be supporting the Healthy Food Packaging Act and the Children Safe Electronics Act. The environmental community is also going to have some priorities. Those will be announced in a little bit. So we'll be supporting those as well. And we'll be looking at, you know, other opportunities to get involved in making sure that people are protected from toxic chemicals no matter where they're coming from, and ensuring that the agencies that help enforce many of our toxics laws continue to be fully funded and have the resources they need to protect us.
What will the political environment be like for getting legislation passed?
This year, the Democrats have taken back the Senate, but it's a very slim margin. So while we expect that we'll be able to get more of our bills through committees that are controlled by Democrats, it will still be a very slim margin once it gets into the full chambers in the Senate. And so we will still continue to have to work really hard and to convince the legislature that these are bills that should be passed. And we will continue to see the same opposition to our bills that we see every year. In the chemical industry, the American Chemistry Council, flies into Washington State. We know them all well. We'll see the Association of Washington Business most likely oppose some of these bills. Last year, we had the Washington Retail Association opposing the bill as well. And so we have not heard that they have changed their mind. So we will still continue to have the same kind of opposition, and it will still be upon us to convince legislators that these are the right choices for Washington State.
What additional groups are supporting, will be likely to support the legislation?
We have a great coalition, a Toxic Free Legacy Coalition, that is made up of doctors and nurses. And the Washington State Nurses Association is a founding member. As we know that healthcare professionals see the results or have to deal with the impacts of these toxic chemicals on a daily basis, and they have a strong interest in reducing at least one cause of some of these illnesses that they have to treat every day. We have a strong environmental coalition and the Environmental Priorities Coalition, and they work hard to support our work as we support theirs. We also have some retailers, some businesses in our coalition. These are businesses that recognize that consumer demand for safer products, less toxic products is really increasing, and they support getting these toxics out of products so that they, you know, have a level playing field, I think, when it comes to these kinds of products. So it's a very diverse coalition, and we have thousands of individuals across the state who also are supportive and active in the coalition.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
The message I'd like to leave listeners with is that the issue of toxic chemicals in products, in our bodies, and environment can seem daunting at times when you consider there's 80,000 chemicals out there on the market, and many of them we don't even have health and safety data for. But I think what we're seeing is that we can make incremental steps here in Washington State on issues such as better reporting of chemicals in toys or banning flame retardants that actually has an impact not only across the state here in Washington, but across the United States, where you have states following, where you have the federal government paying attention to what's going on, where you have manufacturers and retailers seeing that a few states have passed these bans, we better clean up our act because we're soon not going to have a market for our products. And so these small incremental victories really do have a large impact. And I think what we do here in Washington State is watched around the world, and it really does make a difference. So I'd encourage them not to feel discouraged when they hear, you know, we can sometimes seem like doomsday folks, but we really can make progress here.
Thanks so much for being here, Ivy.
Thank you.
You were just listening to Ivy Sager Rosenthal, Communications Director for Toxic Free Future. For more information, check on the web at toxicfreefuture.org. Sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on demand, and then podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on listener-powered 90.3 FM by mobile app and at kexp.org.